braving the cold and coming out here on a Wednesday. And State of Origin, that too, so I appreciate you being here. I actually forgot that it was State of Origin, so I wrote it. No, I'm kidding. I actually was here this afternoon trying to make it shorter just because I just didn't want to go long and keep you guys here when we could pray. If you grab your Bibles, why don't you turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And also grab out Hebrews chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 4. I've lost Isaiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Isaiah 6. There it is. Thank you. And then I need to go to Job personally. That's what I want. Sweet. All right. Got all three. Isaiah chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 4, if you'll put a bookmark in one of those. How we approach people depends on a lot of things. As a single guy, I'm often approaching people for assistance with things. So maybe that be advice. Often it's food. Sometimes it's just company. But whatever it is that I'm seeking to attain it, I need to approach someone to get it. And you need to have the right approach. Who's ever spent too long writing and rewriting some kind of correspondence they had to send to someone? I know I have, constantly overthinking it. Trying to convey a message to someone without having the use of body language or tone is hard to do. It's hard to approach that person via some form of written correspondence. And overthinking can play into it, and autocorrect can sometimes be a hindrance, but you want to be able to communicate something to someone the right way. So I thought, hey, how do we approach God? Our correspondence that we're going to practice here tonight is prayer. How do we approach God? How should we? As someone we speak to every day, are we coming to Him the right way? Is our approach right? So tonight we're just going to look at a few points on how we should approach God. Firstly, we need to come to Him respectfully. Let's look at Isaiah here in chapter 6, and I'll read a few verses for you. 1 to 7. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. God is a God to be feared, not because He's someone with a bend towards malevolence, but because He's powerful and just. One of the seraphims cried those famous words that we have in song here, we didn't sing it tonight, but we have it in song, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, I believe what he said, and we have that in song. It's something that we need to remember about Him. We in our own flesh are not holy. Holiness is God's purity, His cleanness and His righteousness, and He has so much of it that if we came before Him in direct contact, it'd kill us. Isaiah saw God in His holiness in a vision. He wasn't even physically there, and yet he still thought he was going to die. When we come before God, we need to remember His holiness, our lack of holiness within our flesh, and come with a respectful awe of who He is. Three things that we can be in awe of concerning our God. Firstly, His power. Verse 3, one cried unto another, the seraph that is, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. The reason the seraph cries out and says that the whole earth is full of His glory is because God made the whole earth. I think I can make some pretty good origami, but I can't invent a planet. All right, that's a whole lot of power right there. We need to be in awe of God's power. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. In Job, hopefully I've got the bookmark, I do. In Job 38, God questions Job about what he knows and goes on to describe, God describes himself. In a few verses here I'll read out, it says in Job 38, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors, when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withheld, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? Or hast thou walked in search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all." Job had no answer for these things, but God had all the answers. He had all of the, he had done all those things, and he can do all those things. He is a powerful God. Moreover, we know that he is not just powerful, but all powerful. And we need to be in awe of that power. Something else we can be in awe of is his mercy. Look at Isaiah 6 again. And did I take out my bookmark? Blast, I did. Isaiah 6 and verse 5. I'll quickly get back there. Says, "Then said I, Woe is me," Isaiah was speaking, "for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." God called Isaiah up to heaven in this vision, knowing that Isaiah was a sinner just like us. And thus he shouldn't be there, not that he really was in person, but look at the provision made for him. It says there in verse 7 says, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips," speaking of the coal, "and thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged." Isaiah's concern was about his own sin. And yet, even in a vision, God provided a way for his sin to be purged. And I think that's pretty amazing. Praise God, that's still available today. It's a different way, but we still have a way for our sins to be purged and taken away. Something I noticed while doing this study is how specific it is as well. Isaiah says that he is a man of unclean lips, and that his people have unclean lips. But the coal that God sends down by the seraph, do you know where it touches? Verse 7, "This hath touched thy lips." The area that Isaiah was so concerned about, his most sinful spot, was right where God applied his purging, merciful coal. And I think that's really cool. And he still does the same for us. Right? God's love covers everything, but it goes right down that deepest, most sinful, darkest spot that we're concerned about. God still does that today. Because he's merciful. He could use his power to make us right or just to kill us, but he's just patient and loving. He's merciful. That that mercy demonstrates what I've just mentioned there, God's love, something else that we need to be in awe of him. He could make his power to make us right or make us dead, but he's patient with us. You can see evidence of God's love right here in the text. First of all, remember that the book of Isaiah isn't just a book, it's about the story of a man God sent to his people to warn them. When you love someone, you warn them if they're going to do the wrong thing. Secondly, you can see God's love in the fact that God gave Isaiah this vision. What a privilege to see the Lord on his throne. I'd love to see a vision like that one day. That'd be pretty cool. When you love someone, you let them get close. And God let Isaiah get close in a special way. And finally, just in this point of in being in awe of God and coming respectfully towards him, God includes Isaiah in his plans. He makes opportunities for him. Looking down at verse 8,
Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." There are other places where you can read about God speaking to his angelic hosts, but at this meeting, there was only one special guest, and that was Isaiah. I don't think any of the angels had any questions over who God was asking when he said, "Who will go for us?" All right, it was Isaiah. And God made that opportunity for him, and he took it up. And he still has the same offer for us today. We can still work for him, be a part of his plans, and be close to him. And that's all part of how we know that God loves us just like he loved Isaiah. So we need to be in awe of his power and his love. We need to come before God, firstly, respectfully, in awe of those things, his power, his love, his mercy. Secondly, we need to come to him gratefully. When God spoke to Moses, he was told to take off his shoes because where he stood was holy ground. That was repeated with Joshua later on when the angel of the Lord came to him. It tells us in Exodus when they finally finished building the tabernacle, Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. When it happened again at the dedication of the temple, it tells us the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. Isaiah here was terrified upon seeing the Lord. And when he heard God and the seraph speak, the God we approach is the same one that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He's the same God that killed two of Aaron's sons for approaching the wrong way. But he's also the same God that commanded the universe into being. And when, as the Son of God, he said, "I am he," leveled the band of men that came out to arrest him that night. He is a great and mighty God. He's the judge of all the earth, the ancient of days, the Lord of hosts, the King of kings, and the great I am. And yet, we can approach him. All right. Psalm 34 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Psalm 34, 15-19. Time and again, despite our failures and our smallness compared to his greatness, God listens to our little tiny prayers and also seeks us out. When I was studying this, I was looking for a verse that says God loves to hear our prayers, and what I just read is probably the closest one I could find. But in searching for it, there's no one verse that says that God loves to hear what we say, but you will find a God that continually seeks us out time and again, which I think is pretty cool. Not only does he listen, but he moves and acts and draws us closer to him. Say amen if God's ever answered a prayer that you've sent up. Yeah. God has constantly helped me. In the 7 years that I've lived here, I've moved 5 different times, and they've all come close, but God's always provided. In times of weakness and when I've been alone, I know that he's with me. And he's with every believer, dwelling within us, giving us that peace that passes all understanding. He's an amazing God. Whether we come to him with songs of praise, angry shouts like Job did, or sobs of pain, God hears us. And that's a privilege, and it's amazing. More than hear our prayers, though, he wants to know us. And he just wants us. So I think that's just a great thing. And I just try to praise him when I remember that. And try to remember that when you come to his presence. Come, first of all, respectfully, but second of all, gratefully. And finally tonight, we need to come boldly. All right, Isaiah 6, verse 8. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" Flick over to Hebrews. Hebrews 4, I told you to put a bookmark in earlier. Hebrews 4, 14-16, famous verses, but we'll read them again anyway. Hebrews 4, 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Folks, Isaiah might have been terrified when he saw the Lord, but that didn't stop him from speaking up when the opportunity arose for him to do so. Isaiah's sins were purged, and so were ours. Christ, our Saviour, intercedes on our behalf. His blood covers our sins from the side of the Father. And if our prayers are those that lead to God's glorification, he said in John 14, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. People need to come to the Father's throne and talk to him boldly. Romans tells us that often we aren't sure how to pray, but God gives us provision for that even as well, and says the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot even be uttered. So much has been done so that we can easily come before God's great throne and request things. So let's do it. Ask great things, expect great things. I don't know where that comes from, but it's true. We need to expect great things from our God and ask for great things as well. Recently, we've had conference. Tomorrow starts a young adult conference in Sydney, which a number of our people are attending to, and that's why they're not here tonight. Brock mentioned on Sunday that he's going to Romania to be the guest preacher there. Something common between those is the word is being opened, but you can bet that the power of prayer was also behind those things and will be behind those things. We serve a big God. So whether it be conference or whether it be you need a car park, you can ask, and you can ask boldly. As we come tonight to God in prayer, firstly come respectfully. Be in awe of him, be in awe of his power, his mercy, and his love. Secondly, come gratefully, be in awe of his approachability. And finally, come boldly. We can come to God. That's amazing. So do it. Our Father longs to hear our cries.